Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Girl, I'm
welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, we're glad you're here. If you've been listening already, we are especially glad you're here because that we consider that a sign of high intelligence, and you're going to get smarter. Everyone's going to get a little smarter because Tom Sullivan is in the building, so to speak. Tom is a longtime friend of mine and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's chief counsel for advocacy over at the U.S. Small Business Administration, and he is your guy in Washington, D.C. to help make sure that you and I don't have any more regulations than is absolutely necessary. And as I say, he's our good friend. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be on the show.
It's good to have you back, as always. And, you know, I talk about you guys all the time, Tom. I don't know if you know that or not. But I have been, and lately I have been talking more and more about you guys, especially a lot of the work that Chad Moutray, your chief economist, has been doing. And so even when you're not here, I talk about the Office of Advocacy all the time and the great work you guys do.
Thank you, Jim. We're certainly big cheerleaders for small business, and it's nice that you're cheerleaders for what my office is doing.
Well, you guys are doing some really important stuff. And, you know, folks, the Office of Advocacy has always been about trying to be an advocate for small business on the regulatory front. But just before Tom came on board a few years ago as the advocate over at the Office of Advocacy, the chief counsel there, the President Bush put some extra teeth into Tom's charter, and he's got a little bit more muscle than his predecessors had. And Tom, I understand, I had Senator Mike Enzi on the show last week, and he says that the president has put a little more regulatory muscle into the different organizations, the different bureaus that the government has, in terms of putting someone in each one of those organizations, like the EPA, like the Department of Labor, whoever it might be, and to where they have to prove to those organizations have to prove to this delegate that regulations that they are creating are not are absolutely necessary.
You're right, Jim.
What was the document called that he?
There have been two executive orders.
Executive order. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah, that one.
These two executive orders really do show the president's commitment to small business. The first one that you referenced was back in 2002, and that really gave my office a lot of clout to say to every agency before they issue a new regulation, new mandates in the back of small business, they have to make absolutely sure that they consider less burdensome alternatives. Now, what Senator Enzi, the small business senator from Wyoming, referred to, he's talking about the most recent executive order. It was just about 3 weeks ago the president signed an order that puts a regulatory officer in every single agency that is now part of your brain trust.
Mm-hmm.
It is part of the system that my office relies on to make absolutely sure that before any new rule or regulation goes on the street, they make sure that it has the least burdensome impact on small business possible. And the reason, Jim, is very simple. The reason is that small businesses are creating most of the net new jobs, and if that's the case, then they cannot be burdened by unnecessary or duplicative rules and regulations. And so this latest executive order that establishes regulatory officers in every agency, and that's not creating new government positions. It's simply designating a top political official as that regulatory officer. And then it also says that before any new rule hits the street, they have to show that there is a market failure that justifies an agency imposing new regulations.
And right now, that officer, that regulatory officer, is getting his or her marching orders from the President of the United States with help from you, I'm sure. And these are people who really do get it when it comes to small business. In the future, the executive order will still stand, but those officers will be replaced with the people who will be given orders by the new President of the United States in 09.
Yeah, and Jim, what you're referring to really is what small business owners all across the country know, that when it comes to an economy and when it comes to small business, it's not a partisan issue. Agencies need to take steps to lessen the load on small business.
Right. But all presidential candidates that we're looking at right now don't have the same attitude about small business. Ladies and gentlemen, this is another example of why elections do matter. 22, we'll be right back with Tom Sullivan. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and also check out my blog while you're there. And all of that's free. Everything there is free for you. Just all you got to do is show up. We'll let you in. No barrier to entry at all at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Tom Sullivan is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, a good friend of mine and yours, whether you know it or not. He's chief counsel for advocacy over at the Office of Advocacy at the U.S. Small Business Administration, and that's a lot to say in one breath. And he has an outstanding chief economist, Chad Moutre, whom you've heard me talk about many times, because Chad's the guy who produces a lot of the statistics and a lot of the information that comes out on small business. One of the things that you guys have been working on, Tom, is the impact of small businesses, including startups, on the economic health of the various states, haven't you?
Yeah, Jim, what we've been doing really is creating believers. You know, and many of your listeners know, how powerful small business is to the economy. But unfortunately, not everyone gets it. Right. And so what Chad, who is our chief economist, what really he has been doing is he has been documenting the positive economic impact of small businesses. And Chad's latest study, just issued last week, focuses in on state policies. And it shows very clearly that small business is driving state economies. And those governors and those state legislators who do not understand that are going to lose. They're going to lose businesses to their neighboring states and their faraway regions, because America's entrepreneurs can pack up and move to states that want to attract small businesses by better economic climates.
Well, here's how they're getting derailed, Tom, and I know you know this, but it's important for governors and state legislator and any political delegation, whether it be the national or the state level, or even locals like mayors and city council members. All those folks, it's important for them to keep their eyes open for those big plants, those 500,000 person plants that are going to be built. There are a few of those out there still being built. But what they're doing, where I think they're missing the boat, many of them, and this is what you're talking about and the point that Chad's piece makes, is that they're chasing those elephants and they're losing sight of these other opportunities with the smaller companies, and not trying to encourage them and to do the things by, for example, like supporting incubators, business incubators. That's a great way to encourage business startups in a community.
Jim, you're right, and you're chasing the elephants. Example is a good one. I mean, just to draw it out a little bit, they are chasing elephants and forgetting to tend their crops.
That's right.
And it's not an either-or proposition. And what this study and several studies from my office document is that lowering marginal tax rates and creating an environment where entrepreneurs can flourish will drive state economies. And if they spend all the time chasing these giant elephants and forget about the overall climate that entrepreneurs thrive in, then they're going to lose those small businesses and their economies are going to suffer.
Well, and I'll tell you something else. These small businesses that are formed, when they're formed, they're not paying minimum wage. They're paying good wages, most of them, especially once they get developed. They're bringing in business from out of the area that they might not have gotten otherwise. Many of these small businesses are virtual businesses, meaning they're bringing in revenue from around the world, not just sharing it across the county.
Yeah, Jim, the minimum wage debate, I think, is somewhat of a red herring and shows a lack of understanding of small business.
And the economy.
You're right, and it's unfortunate, but the reality from a small business owner's perspective is those jobs that are minimum wage, you see almost instantaneous promotion. You see summer workers that are paid minimum wage and immediately lead up to high-paid jobs. You see minimum wage folks using that path to go into management and senior-level jobs down the line. So just taking minimum wage and saying that's the only issue, I think, is a misunderstanding of small business and how it operates.
Well, there's no question about it. And the thing that I'm seeing more and more, and I think people are starting to get it across the country a little bit more, Tom, and that is in the area of entrepreneurial education. And see, I'm hearing more and more people talk about entrepreneurial education, not only in colleges, but the K-12 folks as well. More and more of those folks are contacting us, Tom. And I think that's a good thing, because what we've got to do is we don't just need to encourage people to start businesses. We need to educate young people so that they will be sort of imprinted on the opportunities that are available in business ownership, not only as a small business owner, but working for a small business.
Yeah, Jim, you're really focusing on one of the greatest triggers to small business success in the United States, and that is education. Education is a path for so many things, including entrepreneurship and small business employment and small business success. So the idea that you capitalize on that phenomenon and then in on entrepreneurial education is a great, great step.
Hold on to that thought, Tom. We're going to take a quick break, folks. The website, the Office of Advocacy website, is sba.gov/ADVO, which is abbreviated for advocacy. Tom Sullivan and I will be right back. It's 10 till. Stay with us.
Your heart may be broken tonight.
Are you reeling in the years? Throwing away the time? Are you gathering up the keys? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years?
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Tom Sullivan. Tom is Chief Counsel for Advocacy at the Office of Advocacy at the U.S. Small Business Administration. And did I gave that website out right, Tom, sba.gov/ADVO?
You did, Jim. That's the right one.
And that's the one I give out all the time, even when you're not here. And, folks, if you want to find out more about the impact small business owners have on many levels, actually, there's an FAQ there that's absolutely outstanding that Tom and Chad and the others have produced over there. If you really want to see the real critical mass of small business and some of the other things that are involved and that small business owners contribute to, go check out that FAQ. It's really powerful, and I get a lot of my information from them. And Tom, one of the things that I know you've been working on lately has been something that's been where you've been working with in support of the EPA, some of the things the EPA is doing. Tell us about that.
Well, Jim, first of all, you could probably sense a smile on my face. Most of the time when we're involved with the Environmental Protection Agency, we're not on the same side. I mean,
right.
We've been very aggressive on behalf of small business owners to push back on unnecessary rules and regulations that do, unfortunately, sometimes come from the Environmental Protection Agency. So us being on the same side as EPA on a reform is a big deal. And this reform that we've been working on now for 8 years is about pollution reporting. We have heard from small business for a dozen years or so that they should not have to fill out dozens of pages of paperwork when they do not pollute anything. And just 2 years ago, Jim, there were over 3,000 manufacturers who filled out dozens of pages just to say that they don't pollute.
Huh.
Now, as a practical matter, all of these pages that are online are called up, and then these environmental performing companies are then called polluters. It just doesn't make sense.
Even though they're not polluters.
No, they basically have to fill out these forms that say there are zero emissions and discharges into the environment. But the very fact that these forms are out there are allowing for people to call them polluters.
Hmm.
So what EPA has done just in December, they said, you know, if you're a small manufacturer and you are a good environmental citizen, you don't emit any pollution, and you should be able to fill out a short form, kind of like the 1040 EZ tax form.
Right.
And that tells your neighborhood that you do handle dangerous things. You handle toxic chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
But because you are a good and compliant company, you don't have any discharges. You just fill out that simple one-page form instead of dozens of pages, and you actually can save hundreds of hours from filling out these forms. And those hundreds of hours, Jim, as you know, equate to a lot of dollars that go back into the economy, back to small businesses.
Especially since somebody in the company, maybe the owner is having to do that, and rather than hiring somebody, they either have to hire somebody and pay them to do it or take time away from the opportunity of the business to do it. And this is another reason why, folks, what Tom was just talking about, that before they got this new rule in place, is one of the reasons why regulations per small business owner's employee has been going up over the years.
Yeah, Jim, you know that from our research that there is a cumulative regulatory burden of over $1 trillion. And we know that small businesses, small manufacturers.
That's 1/12 of the U.S. economy.
Yeah, it's an astounding number. And for small business owners, they spend 4.5 times more than large business to comply with environmental rules and regulations. So you got it right when you talk about a small business owner who I met with last week. This woman runs a small manufacturing company in Maryland, and EPA's reforms, the pollution reporting reforms, they are going to save her 2 full days.
Wow.
2 entire days she is going to save.
She's going to get back.
Yeah, she's going to be able to fill out a short form.
That's good news. Tom, thank you for helping her with that. Thank you for, and of course, that's helping a lot of other people out there. And we appreciate the steadfast support that you have for small business and the work that you do very much, Tom.
Thank you, and we'll keep at it.
All right, I know you will. Say hi to Chad. Tom Sullivan, ladies and gentlemen, the Chief Counsel over at the Office of Advocacy at the U.S. Small Business Administration. That's sba.gov/ADBO. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.